take us. And last week I shared a lot about who Jesus is, that he is the creator of the universe, that he's the sovereign Lord God Almighty, that he conquered Satan. Amen. And just sharing about who Jesus is, because we really need to, if we really want to live through this world and through all that this world throws at us, if we want to live a life of peace and enjoy the peace of God in our lives, we have to learn that calmness that comes from him, because and understand completely that he is in control. Amen? That whatever's going on in this world, God knows about it, and God is in control of what's going on. And last week I was talking about how Jesus conquered Satan. And so I'm going to pick up there where I left off last week and talk some more about that and how Jesus has prevailed over him. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us." I want you to know this morning that you can keep calm because Jesus will prevail. Say that with me. Jesus will prevail. You didn't say that loud enough. Say it again. Jesus will prevail. And so when we understand that, when we really allow that to be a part of our heart and our spirit and our knowledge, that Jesus will prevail, not the enemy, not some country, not some ruler, not some other religion. Jesus will prevail. He said, "I will build my church. Satan will not prevail. I will." Let me just back up a little bit from where I was last week. I want to give you just a little bit of background about the one that we fight against, the one that is the enemy of our soul. In the Old Testament, his name was Lucifer. And then his name was later changed to Satan, or we call him Satan or the devil. But if you go back to the beginning, in Ezekiel chapter 28, he was a created angel. God created him for good. God created him, and he was probably the most influential angel that God had created. And in Ezekiel 28, this is what it says about him. This is what the sovereign Lord says. "You were the model of perfection." Wow. "Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, crystallite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, a guardian angel. For so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were until the day you were created, till wickedness was found in you." God said, "You were perfect. You were the model of perfection until wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings." God says, "I created you, and when wickedness was found in you, I threw you to the earth." Now I want to ask you, who's in control? God. Amen? See, many times people think that the devil's in control, that he is running things and he is ruling things. I want you to know today that God created him, and when he sinned, when he was full of pride, God says, "All right, you're done. You can't be in my existence here in heaven any longer." He threw him to the earth. This is how he rebelled. Isaiah 14, Verse 12 says, "You have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heaven. I will raise my thrones above the stars of God. I will set enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" But God's response was, "But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit." God said, "You know what? Because of your sin, because of that wickedness that was found in you, I will throw you down. I will expel you." Jesus said in Luke 10:18, he says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And in Revelation 12:7, and I'm giving you a lot of scriptures here, just laying that foundation of who he was and what we're dealing with today. Because I want you to know this morning that God is in control, not the enemy. I want you to leave here today saying, you know what, God is in control. Jesus will prevail. This is what happened when he sinned. Revelation 12:7 says, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven." They lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." So God said, "Hey, you can't live here any longer." God defeated him and hurled him down, it says, to the earth. So he was defeated in heaven, and then he was hurled down to the earth. And then Jesus said, "You know what, that's not enough. I'm going to go to the earth, and I'm going to defeat him there also." Amen? And that's what he did. When Jesus Christ came, he came to defeat and destroy the works of the devil. And I shared a lot about that last week, how Jesus came to defeat and destroy the works of the devil on this earth. And I want to repeat one verse that I shared last week that is so vitally important. In Colossians 2:15, it says, "Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." And I shared last week how what that is about is when a general defeats another general, there's a ceremony, and the defeated general stands before the victorious one, and he rips off of him all of his medals, all of his insignias, all of the badges and stuff, saying how important he is and how great he is. He is humiliated. He is stripped of all of that, and the general, the victorious general, will say, "What was yours is now mine. Who you were, I now am. Your army is now my army. Your nation is now my nation." And that's what Jesus did. He came to earth and he disarmed him. He stripped him and made a public spectacle of him. This is what else Jesus did in Revelation 1:17. It says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and says, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of death and Hades.'" I hold, Jesus says, now I hold the keys of death. And that's what he did. He came to this earth to destroy Satan, to destroy the last stronghold of death. And he says, "I now hold the keys of death and of Hades. And I'm bringing life." Amen? I'm bringing life now to this earth. And Jesus brought life for you and I today. We do not have to live any longer under the control of Satan, of the control of the enemy. We can now live a victorious Christian life, a life of peace, a life in Christ today, because Jesus has come to this earth and defeated him and destroyed him. And he holds the keys of death and Hades. He now is in control completely. I want you to get a visual picture. You know, the Bible talks of Satan being like a roaring lion. Well, his teeth have been pulled and he's on a leash. Amen? He's toothless and he's on a leash. That's what Jesus did to him. Yet, he still is allowed to exist. And this is the part that I kind of want to get to today. It's like, you know, Jesus came, he was defeated in heaven, kicked down to earth. Jesus came and defeated him now on earth. And then when Jesus is through with him on this earth, there's going to be one more demotion for him, right? And that is going to be one more, you know, he's kind of been like taking these steps down, heaven, earth now to the lake of fire, the bottomless pit. One day, when God is through with him on this earth, when his time is up, God is going to say, all right, that's enough. One more trip, buddy. One more demotion. And it's going to be over. Why does God allow him to exist today? I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, if I was God, you know, in the very beginning, whenever he sinned and he was full of pride in heaven, I would think, you know, it's kind of like when your mama says, you know, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. I think I kind of would have been me if I would have been God. You know, of course, you know, he's, you know, a lot wiser than I am. I would have probably said, all right, buddy, I brought you into this world and now you're done. You know, I would have just eliminated him probably right then and there. But God had a plan. And God has a purpose. And we need to go through life and we can be calm knowing that God has had a plan, that God has a purpose, and that Satan does exist. We need a healthy understanding that he does exist. You know, some people completely say that there is no Satan. There is no God. There is no Satan. They try to completely ignore that. But we need a healthy understanding that he does exist, but he has limited power and authority, and he can only operate as God allows him to on this earth today. And God has allowed him to be the opposition to Christ, the Antichrist. Antichrist means anti-Christos, can mean either against Christ or instead of Christ, or perhaps a combination of the two. One who, assuming the guise of Christ, who opposes Christ, the Antichrist. There had to be someone in opposition to Christ. There had to be a choice for people, and I'll talk more about that choice in a moment. But in 1 John 4:1, it says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now, already is in the world. John said, even now, it's in the world. The Antichrist is operating in the world. It is a spirit that is against Christ. Anybody that opposes Christ, any religion, any agenda, any government, any person that opposes Christ in the Bible has a spirit of Antichrist. They are against him. They oppose him. There are some who try to imitate him and counterfeit him. I was reading some things about history this week, and I was interested to realize that for almost 900 years, whenever Muhammad came on the scene a long time ago, that for 900 years, the Christian church viewed Muhammad as the Antichrist. And you can see how there is that parallel where Muhammad and Jesus, and there's this battle today going on today in our world between Christianity and Muslim religion. And it's like, yes, he is against Christ. He is Antichrist. It is an Antichrist religion. 2 John verse 7 says, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. So the Antichrist is anybody who is against Christ. And Satan was against Christ. And he's against you and I as followers of Christ. He hates your guts today. He wants to see you deceived. He wants to see you distracted. He wants to see you ensnared in all kinds of sin. He wants to see your life ruined. He wants to spread doubt and fears in your heart. He wants you today to be weakened and to be not what Christ has called you to be. He is opposing Christ. He's opposing you and I today. He, as 1 Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. He prowls around and says we are to be self-controlled and alert and understanding. But why does God allow him to still be trouble for you and I? Why is there this epic battle still going on? If Jesus defeated him already, then why does he exist today? Well, I believe that he exists to give us an opportunity to experience God's love and to return that love to God. See, Satan was created by God as the most beautiful and greatest of all angels. We just read that. He had the great potential to love and to do good, far beyond what we can imagine today. But that also means he had the unthinkable potential of doing evil, and he chose to do evil. He chose to do evil. Can you imagine having everything, to being in the position that he was, to having everything, to be at the, I mean, right there with God, and yet he chose to do evil. He exists because in a universe in which good exists, the potential for evil also exists. Otherwise, there would be no free will for you and I today. The greater the good, the greater the potential of evil. Evil exists because good exists, and because God has created us with the free will to choose. If only good existed, do we have a free will? No. Without evil, there is no choice, and thus no free will. And without free will, there can be no love. If someone holds a gun to your head and says, tell me you love me, and you say, I love you, do you really love him? No. That's not love at all. Evil exists so that you and I can have the opportunity to love God and to choose to love God and to choose to be loved by him and have a relationship with him and to understand his love, to understand his grace, to understand his mercy and forgiveness and to accept that and to choose that for our lives. For us to love, we have the ability to choose not to love. God has given us free will so that we can choose to love or not be loved. In John 3:16, that very famous passage, 16 through 19, it says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. We need to understand it. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. It was condemned already, right? But to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him, whoever believes, whoever chooses to believe in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. God has allowed Satan to exist so that man can choose to love God and to accept his love and be true worshipers of him. To be true followers, to be true disciples, to be true part of his family and his kingdom by loving him and accepting his love. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We can keep calm today because Jesus is in control. He is in charge. He has defeated the enemy. And he will build his church. In the Bible, there are many parables that Jesus taught. And many of those parables were parables about the owner of the vineyard, the master, the bridegroom. And in many of those parables, Jesus tells a story where the bridegroom, the master, leaves and goes on a trip, goes on a journey. And he's gone for a period of time. And then he always returns. He returns to investigate what his servants have done. He returns to see how his servants have increased his kingdom. He returns as the bridegroom for the bride. And in the parable of the 10 virgins, there are 5 that chose to be wise and were ready and were prepared. And there were 5 that chose not to. But in all of those, Jesus is telling us that he came to this earth. He established his kingdom on this earth. And then he left. He went back to the Father. But he's coming back again. Amen? He's coming back again. And in this time period, in this period of after he left and until he returns, he's left it up to you and I to spread the good news and to tell others and to build his kingdom on this earth. And when he comes back, when the Lord returns, then he will ultimately defeat Satan and cast him into the lake of fire. But until then, and this is going to be next week, the rest of the story, next week. Until then, we as his church are to proclaim the good news of Christ's love, that you can have Christ's love, that you can enjoy him, that you can understand his grace, you can have his forgiveness now, and you can spend eternity with him when he comes back. Amen? And he says, I will build my church. I will build my church. And when I come back, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because when I come back, I'm going to cast him into the lake of fire. Matthew 25, verse 31, it says, when the Son comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. But the righteous to eternal life. The reason why God has allowed the devil to continue to exist on this earth is because there is going to be a separation day between those who choose Jesus, amen, who choose Him, who choose His love and His grace and His mercy, who become righteous in Christ Jesus, who take on the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And because of that, it says they will spend eternal life with Him. Amen? Amen? 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Today, you and I can be calm. We can rest assured that Jesus is going to do this. And that because you love Him and because you are righteous in Christ today, you can and will spend eternity with Christ today. You can enjoy the peace of God today on this earth. In this battle that we're in, and I'll talk more about that battle and our role in that battle here in the next week or two to come. But today I want you to leave here assured, knowing what's going to happen in the future. And that when Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail it, my friends, you can take that to the bank. Amen? You can trust that. You can believe that. You can put your faith in that. One last verse. And this is each week I kind of end with a verse and I pick up with that verse. One last verse. This is our ending verse. Next week we'll pick up on this. Romans 16:19. I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace, everyone say the God of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. And let's just take a moment to thank the Lord that we today can be at peace, that we can live in peace, we can know. We can know what the future holds. We can know that our life is secure in Christ. And that when I'm through with this life on earth, I will spend eternity with Jesus. I will have eternal life in Him. And when that separating day comes, I will be on the road with the sheep. I will be with God's chosen. I will be with those who choose Jesus today. Who choose to serve Him today. Who choose to live for Him today. I will be on the right. I will be His sheep. I will spend eternity with Him because I today choose Jesus. Today, let me ask you this morning, do you choose Jesus? Have you? Have you chose His love, His grace, His forgiveness today? He's given you an opportunity, a free will to choose. He's given you the opportunity to know Him, to have a relationship with Him here on this life and in this life and to spend eternity with Him forever and ever. Have you chose Him today? Or have you chose to continue to live in your sin? To live in rebellion to God? To live under the control of Satan? You choose to be on the right or on the left. To be God's chosen sheep or to be those goats that spend eternity with the devil and his angels today. You choose. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you this morning, is there anyone here that says, Pastor Steve, today I choose. Today I choose Jesus. I choose to believe in Him and to put my faith in Him. I choose today to accept His grace and love and forgiveness. I choose to make Him my Lord, my Master, my Savior, my God today. I choose. Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, you pray for me. I'm going to pray with you. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you. But just raise your hand and say, Pastor, today I choose. Today I choose Jesus. Is there anyone this morning? Just raise your hand and say, I choose today. I choose. Yes, thank you. I choose today. Thank you. I choose Jesus. Let's pray this prayer together, church. Let's pray it out loud together. Dear Lord Jesus, today I choose you because you chose me. You sent your son Jesus to this earth to defeat the devil and to die on a cross and to be resurrected from the grave so that I can have life, eternal life. And I choose life. I choose Jesus today. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sin, to come into my heart, to live in me, to be my God, to be my Lord, to be my Master today. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Just take a moment to worship Him. We ask our prayer team to come. We have men and women who are available up here to pray if you have a need at all. If you need somebody to pray with you about any need at all in your life, there are men and women who will be up here and be available to pray with you today and to encourage you any way they can. Amen. I need some more prayer team members over here on this side. If there's some that are available over here. As we sing this song, take a moment to worship Him this morning. If you need prayer, come. But just really let that sink in today of what God has shared with us through His Word. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that's with us today, that fills us, that helps us to walk in peace, that helps us to have power over the enemy, that helps us to build the kingdom of Christ, that helps us to live that victorious Christian life.